Today we begin a new sermon series. I really wrestled with what to call this series. I had a whole list of ideas. I ran them by Ricky and Jane and my daughter. And finally, last Saturday night, I came upon home building. That's what we're going to call it. So for the next 10 weeks, we will focus on key aspects of building a spiritual home. As we consider the vision of being rooted and grounded in love, the question we need to ask is, what do we need in order to live into this vision? What do we need to put into place in order to build a life that is rooted and grounded in love? Over these weeks, we're going to build a home here on the platform. Each week, through a piece in the building process, we'll look at an element that is vital to the establishment of a home with God in our lives. And I want to thank Kevin, our facilities supervisor, for putting this together for me. So with any building project, the place you begin is with, like we have here, a foundation. The foundation is so important. It doesn't look all that exciting, but it is key. It's what holds the structure above it. The strength of the building lies in the foundation, and Kevin made a really good, strong one. It was hard to lift. A well-built foundation keeps the occupants of a building safe during calamities that may come, earthquakes and floods and strong winds. The passage that I want us to consider this morning as we embark on this is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This parable here is part of the last section of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the most famous of the sermons that Jesus ever gave. It's recorded in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. It's referred to as, on the Mount, because it begins by noting that Jesus went up on a mountainside and then he sat down. And his disciples came to him and then he began to teach. One person noted, if we were to summarize the Sermon on the Mount in a single sentence, it would be something like this. How to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God, free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. Another author commented on how studying the Sermon on the Mount can be a devastating experience. He said, it exposes the depth of our sin and the shallowness of our commitment. The location where Jesus was teaching this sermon is near the Sea of Galilee. And around the seashore there is very hard surface during the hot summer months. But when the Jordan River, would flow down into the Sea of Galilee, sometimes the banks would overflow. The houses that were then built on this alluvial sand surface, would have an unstable foundation, and they would be washed away. A wise builder knew this, so would not be fooled by these surface conditions. And they would dig down, sometimes 10 feet below the sand surface, to get to bedrock. Then the foundation of the house would be established. It seems that Jesus was familiar with the area and with building techniques. Maybe that's because his earthly father was a carpenter, as was he. My dad was a builder, not of homes, but of larger, office buildings. And I remember when I was young, one thing that he would like to do on weekends was to go and visit some of the construction sites of the projects that his company was working on. Exciting for a young girl, right? Yeah, not so much. And the initial stages of building can just seem very dull. They take a long time. All you see for quite a while is this hole in the ground where they are working. It seems like nothing is happening, and then all of a sudden, the building goes up and it takes shape. Foundations take time, but they are the most important facet of a building. A lot of effort needs to go into them, and they're also very costly. It's not a place where you want to scrimp and save. To build on sand, well, that was much easier than going way down and digging deeper. But the foundation is crucial, and it determines the stability of a structure to withstand the elements that come. About every 3 weeks or so, I get my nails done. That may seem kind of frivolous, but I actually do this, I confess, because all my life I've bitten my nails. I know, not a good habit. I probably have some deep psychological thing there, but anyway. My dad would deeply chastise me for doing this, but that did not work. Getting them done, however, does help. Well, the interesting thing about going there now is the opportunity to interact with the people there. The technicians all know that I am a pastor, and sometimes they joke about, you know, and apologize for their language. One of them will regularly comments how if she came to church, she knows she'd be struck by lightning. Well, I've told her, no, that would not happen. Some of the topics that come up are very interesting. And this past week, it wasn't one of the technicians, but another girl that was visiting. I heard, you know, kind of these comments, and then she asked, well, if there's a God, how could he let bad things happen? That is a common question. Many people wrestle with this. And I shared with her how we are not puppets in God's hands. God doesn't step in and stop us from doing things. He doesn't, you know, zap a drink out of someone's hand so that they don't drink and drive, or lift our foot off the gas pedal so we slow down, or close our mouths when we're about to speak something ill of someone, or take needles or weapons out of people's hands. And you can probably think of a lot of other things. God has given us free will, and as a result, bad things happen. We get into car accidents. People drive and drink, and someone gets hurt. We pollute our environment, and we reap the results. To satisfy lust and make money, children are sold into slavery. And so we hear stories like that of Leanna. Is this what God wants? No. We live in a world that has fallen, and unfortunately, we reap the consequences. Storms in life will come. The question is, will we be able to weather them? I would assume that you have known people that have abandoned their faith when they hit hard times. People can reach crisis moments of faith when things get hard. How many of you remember that song, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock? You know, it's kind of this fun little, you know, little tune. A fun song for children that seems lighthearted. But this is not a fun, jovial passage. It is very serious. And I wonder, you know, have we done a disservice to kids when we sing songs like this? That they grow up thinking that God guarantees just all the good stuff. You know, the last verse of that song is, the blessings come down as the prayers go up. Well, what happens when those blessings don't seem to be coming down? We've probably not talked enough about the hard things. How many people have you heard say, well, I used to believe in God, but then life just got so hard. My grandma died. My mom got cancer. I lost my job. I lost a relationship. Lost a child. Life became difficult, and then they questioned God and his love. Storms in life will come. The waves will crash upon us. And if we don't have a solid foundation, we can just be washed away. Think about just some of the natural disasters that have occurred around the world in just this last month. You know, a typhoon in the Philippines and southern China, the hurricane in North Carolina, and a tornado Friday in Ottawa. Wind and rain have devastating effects. Now, people in these areas have had a lot to deal with. One news report made this comment, the impact of natural disasters is merciless and immeasurable. High death tolls and property damage leave civilians devastated. And it's not only families and cities who suffer in the aftermath. The scope of these events inevitably cause political, social, and economic turmoil, amplifying the tragedy and creating a vulnerable climate. What Jesus is highlighting here in these verses is serious. This is not a fun, jovial passage. It's difficult and in many ways an unpopular message. Everyone gets a storm, whether you are a faithful follower or whether you have rejected Jesus. It's part of living in this world. But there can be a difference on the impact that it has on us. In Jesus' parable, the two builders represent two ways of living. They both use the same material and the same plans, and the world cannot tell the difference between the two houses. But when the storms come, those times of difficulty, the house not founded on the rock crumbles and falls. The foundation rock upon which we are to build our lives is Christ. The foundation rock himself is the Lord and the truths that he has been presenting. The sand that Jesus was referring to was the Pharisaic righteousness on which people were basing their hopes. And Jesus is demonstrating the inadequacies of the Pharisees' religious system. Our faith is not based on the religious things that we have to do. It's based on a person, on Jesus Christ. Larry Richards, in his commentary, shares this story. He says, in one of the churches I attended as a young Christian, there were a number of external measurements. Attendance at the meetings of the church. Praying in King James English. I have trouble doing that. At prayer meetings. Teaching in the Sunday school. Carrying tracts to hand out at the subway station. Refraining from smoking and drinking and movies. And from close association with anyone who did indulge in the forbidden three. Most men and women in our little church conformed to these externals. Yet I know now that beneath the surface of public piety, many suffered the emptiness and pain of alienation and were unfulfilled. I know also that when I struggled to find reality through conforming, I too wandered away from the reality. How do you expect to enter into the kingdom of God? Is it on having right opinions? Doing the right things, fasting, praying, feeding the hungry, feeding the sick. Those are great things, but they don't save us. John Wesley, in one of his sermons, noted that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but of his own mercy he saved us. And then he went on to say, in a word, let thy religion be the religion of the heart. Let it lie deep in thy inmost soul. Jesus was challenging them against the shallow, unstable sand of the religious leadership of the scribes and the Pharisees. The religious establishment was promoting a form of surface righteousness. And I mentioned last week how that just doesn't work. We need roots. Otherwise, life is not sustained. Eventually, the instability of not having Christ as our foundation is revealed. There's no answer then to our deepest needs. Nothing to hold us when those storms come along. James Boyce suggests that there are two mistakes that people can make. One is to say that you don't need a foundation. This is really the postmodern skepticism about finding absolute truth. The second is to say any foundation will do. And we see this in the politically correct pluralism of our modern culture. But the solid rock that gives stability, security, and hope is none other than Jesus and in him alone. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is all expressed so well in the hymn that we'll sing at the end. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, on Christ. The solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The Sermon on the Mount ends with the same note of radical choice, which can be seen throughout Jesus' message. Jesus does not set before his followers, this string of ethical rules, so much as a set of values and ideals, which is entirely distinctive from the way of the world. I liked what Scott McKnight said. He said, the Sermon on the Mount is not the Torah on steroids. It's not laws, but words from Jesus. And we can do what he says or not do what he says. It is our choice. And McKnight points out, we dare not reduce Christology to ethics. Instead, the sermon calls us to live ethics into Christology. To respond is not to respond to an ethical vision. To respond is to respond to Jesus. The challenge of Jesus is not simply to accept him or believe in him. It's not just believing, it's building our life on him. It is doing what he says. The wise builders don't just hear, they do. It's not actions done for action's sake, you know, trying to earn something. We cannot save ourselves. That is unstable sand. All that we do is to come out of our relationship with Christ. It's taking that narrow road and obeying what Christ says, trusting him and pursuing his instructions. When we build our life on the solid foundation of Jesus and his word, then we are wise and we will be able to stand the difficulties of life. If you choose to build on anything else, it really is just foolishness. It's not simply, you know, to hear Jesus call or even respond with some temporary flurry of good deeds, but rather we have to build that solid foundation that combines authentic commitment to Christ with a persevering obedience. Jesus is the only secure truth of life. Storms will come. The question is, where are we going to build our life? It all comes down to Jesus. We have to respond to his question, what will you do with me? If you look at Matthew chapter 7, several questions emerge. Will you enter the narrow gate to life in the kingdom or choose the easier popular road? Will you find in Christ the inner source of transformation that will produce fruit in your life? Will you obey the Father's will and come to him as your only Lord? Will you build your life on Jesus as the solid rock? Jesus is saying, build your life on me and my words. Jesus is telling us that a wise builder is one who hears the word of God and applies it to their lives. Commitment to Christ is not the easy way. It is costly and it takes time and effort. But the result is, when those storms hit, you will stand. As we build our home each week, we begin with the foundation of Christ. It's upon this foundation that we can build a strong, healthy, spiritual home. Will you pray with me? Lord, I think of a passage in 1 Peter 2 where it says, look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. Father, give us the grace to build on no other foundation but the foundation of Christ. We realize that the tendency is to follow what we hear around us, that we don't need a foundation, that there is no absolute truth, or that any foundation will do. Lord, open our hearts and our ears to follow, knowing that in you alone, as our foundation, we can find the strength, stability, security, and hope. On you, our hope is found. All other ground is indeed just sinking sand. In your name, Jesus, amen.